Today's scripture will be Acts chapter 18, starting at verse 22. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who, through grace, had believed. For he had powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. So here again we see the powerful working of God's Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded again of the greatness of that. The wonder of not only God with us as a man in Jesus, but God with us and in us in the Spirit. And how important that is. Now this section is interesting in a nerdy kind of way, in that Apollos is just kind of plopped here. Luke, in the writing of this narrative to let good Theophilus know the way of things, put this story of Apollos here. And that we know of Apollos. We hear of him other places. We hear that there was a conflict, and some folks in Corinth were saying they followed Apollos, some saying Paul, so there's that controversy going on. But at issue here in these two accounts, we have Apollos and the disciples in Ephesus. And Luke, I think, just masterfully puts them next to each other to show us something. And our antenna should always go up when something seems to be kind of like all of a sudden out of nowhere. Because it doesn't go anywhere after this in Luke. Here's Apollos. Okay, let's move on. And yet it's very profound, I think, to tell us something of the gospel, of what it is, what it really is. And that's a pertinent question always. As pertinent here, thousands of years ago, as it is today. Within the Christian world, that question of what is the gospel? What is the good news? What are the bounds of the good news? You know, we always like to know, right? We want to, here it is. This is it. Boom, boom, boom. And through centuries and cultures, we take this message of Jesus and the apostles and try to figure out what is this good news? We've seen so many different communications of it, right? You have the Jesus died for your sins and believe in him. And as an individual person, Christ came and died for you. And if you accept that, you will be saved. You will not go to hell. You will go to heaven. We see communications of the gospel in making the world a better place, helping the poor, helping the sick. We see it in healings. We see it in justice. We see it in mercy. And even in our world today, this debate rages throughout different wings of Christianity. What is the gospel at its heart? What should we be doing? Should we simply just preach Jesus died for you and you must accept him or go to hell, which is one side of it? Or, again, we always want to put things in like two buckets and that's it. Or should we just say Jesus came to have mercy and help the poor and we should be doing everything we can to have justice in the world? But it has to be one or the other, right? We just seem to always want to do that. And I would suggest to you today that the answer is yes. The gospel is big. When Jesus came and broke through. That was a momentous event. And we try to pigeonhole into separate little categories, we do a great injustice to what Jesus wanted to do. I always go back. I think when we think about the gospel, what was it that the disciples went out to the cities to preach the good news before Jesus went to the cross and died for their sins and was resurrected again? What was the good news there? Because it wasn't that other part. So we have to consider a broader definition of gospel here. And I think it all comes down to the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. It's his kingdom. And yes, 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 Jesus died. You know, Paul says of first importance, right? Because he died and was resurrected, was buried, resurrected. All that's so important. It is reconciliation with God. It is the kingdom of God here. It is the kingdom of God coming. And it is God's Spirit with us now. And as the gospel is spreading throughout the world here, the question about what is this, what is the complete gospel? What is the full gospel, so to speak? We'll talk about that a little later. And so in that idea, in that question, we have Apollos, okay? And again, just a very interesting thing that's going on here. So on the one side, we, you know, I don't have my map up today, I forgot, but, nope, my bad, I forgot. But you guys have been watching it for 3 weeks, so you kind of know, right? Here's the Middle East, you know, and so I got to go backwards here. So, like, so over here is Israel, you know, and then up, and then of course, then you got Antioch, and then, of course, then Paul goes up and around, and then, here he's saying into Galatia, and in the area, right? And then, like, over here, then would be Ephesus is where he ends up. And we know Paul was heading that way, and wanted to head that way, because last week, when he came back from his second journey, he stopped in Ephesus. They asked him to stay, and he said, nope, not now, but if God wills, I will be back. So I think that was in Paul's heart. He wanted to go to Ephesus. Ephesus was an interesting town, incredible. The archaeological evidence and things we have in Ephesus is amazing. If you just Google it sometime, it's incredible. Incredible stuff there, okay? So we know Paul wanted to get there, okay? So that's where Paul's headed. But then Luke brings us into this other story of Apollos. So apparently Apollos is in Ephesus. And remember now, and of course we also know who else is in Ephesus from last week, was Priscilla and Aquila. We know they were there. Now it says here that Apollos was from Alexandria, which is in Egypt. So again, if you think about our map of all this stuff here, well then you got the sea, and then you got Egypt, which would be like here. So like right here would be Alexandria. Okay, it's on the coast, on the bottom of the sea there. All right? Again, famous place, a place of learning, of study. There was a great library there, the Library of Alexandria, which was partially destroyed by Julius Caesar later, but at its height, it had over 700,000 Greek texts. I mean, just a wealth of incredible knowledge. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, they did there. So Genesis through like Deuteronomy, I think they had just full, huge copies of it. Incredible place. So, and out of that comes Apollos. That's where he's from. And the knowledge we have him here was that he was eloquent, that he was competent in the scriptures. So he's a Jew. He knew the scriptures. And he was able to accurately teach about Jesus from the Old Testament. Okay, we didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the rest yet. So somehow, the good news, it seems like, got to Apollos, and he was teaching about Jesus accurately, okay? But the interesting thing here is that when he was teaching and Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and said, hey, you know what? You're not quite getting it. There's more here. And so some, as you read, was Apollos saved? Was Apollos a Christian? Maybe he just kind of knew? Maybe he just met some of John's disciples? And heard about, because that's what it said, he knew of the baptism of John. Now, what was the baptism of John? You remember? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming. The one is coming. He was the forebearer. So that was it. It was a baptism of repentance, which is a good thing. It's great. You know, Luke chapter 1 talks about John the Baptist. You know, well, they all got to do, but in Luke's thinking, he thought of that as the one who was coming to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins, pointing to Jesus. All right, so that was but it was not the same baptism that Jesus talked about in Matthew, when he says, go and baptize, all right? And so Priscilla and Aquila saw something there. Now, I think in this context, I think that Apollos was saved. It seems to me. Again, saving is the Holy Spirit, because we're going to contrast Apollos then with these disciples in Ephesus. And I think that's what Luke is trying to do here. But Apollos, I think, knew, but he just didn't have the completeness of it. So they took him aside quietly, which is great. They didn't call him out in public. They just say, hey, brother, let me tell you what's going on here. So I think he was a Christian. I think maybe he met some of John's disciples in Alexandria, possibly. Heard about Jesus. He knew about Jesus. His knowledge of the scriptures such that he could put the dots together. I think that's the spirit. I don't think it comes outside of that. So if he's able to accurately teach about Jesus from the Old Testament of all places, I think that's a work of spirit. So I do think that. What it was lacking was this baptism picture. So what is Christian baptism then? If John's baptism was repent, what is the other baptism? What is Christian baptism? And I think it's this. There's several things involved. Christian baptism shows a union with Christ, okay, specifically with Jesus, in his death, burial, resurrection, with a new life, and a unity in the kingdom of God. All of that in that going down and coming up. That's the picture. That's what it means. That is the Christian life. And if that isn't happening, you're saying, Apollos, if that's not what's going on here, it's a fuller, a complete understanding of who Jesus was, of who the Messiah is. You can get that from the Old Testament, but this Messiah is much more than maybe what you're thinking. And so I think that is, and from all we can see, Apollos says, oh, yes, that totally makes sense. That totally makes sense, absolutely. He came into the fullness of a transformed life, a complete transformation of life, a death and a resurrection life. And in that then, because of his eloquence, because of what a good speaker he was, in many ways, opposite of Paul would say. You know, Apollos, man, you're great. I can never do that. But they send him on back over to Athens and Corinth. And that's where that's where we see that he does ministry there, Apollos, and refutes the Jews. Some think that maybe because of that knowledge of the scriptures that he has, that maybe Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. Some think that. Some think it's Paul, because there's a lot of Pauline thinking there. Some think maybe, well, that's because of Priscilla and Aquila. Because Priscilla and Aquila were converts of Paul. So, I don't know. I'll find out someday, maybe. I don't really care. All right, it's not that big a deal, I don't think. But it's interesting. It's interesting to think about. Okay, so that's picture one. Apollos getting the completeness of the gospel, the good news in his life. All right? You with me? Okay. Then we move back to Paul. Paul makes his way back to Ephesus. And then we see in the beginning of chapter 19, he comes across some disciples. It has a different feeling here, I think, than with Apollos. Did you feel that? What's in it is Paul's first question. Now, I've never done this. I've never met somebody, you know, in a church or something, say, how's, you know, do you know the Spirit? You know, I mean, I don't, but Paul did. For some reason, again, we don't know much. I would assume there's probably some conversations that happened before this, right? He knew they're disciples, which seems to indicate they're followers of Jesus. But again, here Paul, I think, sees something lacking. Something's not there. Something's not quite right. And then so Paul, I think maybe by the Spirit, kind of hones in on it and says, do you know the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? I guess, you know. And what was their answer? We didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. So here again is the question. Were these disciples Christians? They had no idea there even was a Holy Spirit. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me possibly stronger than with Apollos that maybe they weren't quite there. They had some understanding because they call them disciples. That's what gets me here. They were referred to as disciples. Now, that may not necessarily mean saved. Okay, because here again, all they knew was the baptism of John, which brings me to an important thing that I want us to make sure we're remembering here, is that repentance in itself does not save you, okay? The act of repentance does not save you. All those people who were baptized by John did not yet know Jesus, okay? It's Jesus. It's the Spirit. It's that experience of a changed life, of a death, burial, and a resurrection in ourselves. That is the gospel. And it seems like these folks in Ephesus weren't quite there. Because here it mentions that they were indeed then baptized. So that kind of gives me a little bit of a clue, possibly, that they were maybe didn't quite have the same understanding that Apollos did. It seems to me that Apollos had this understanding, the Spirit was there, just didn't quite have all the dots connected, but here it did not. These folks did not know there was a Spirit. They had John's baptism, which was simply repentance, not necessarily Christian baptism, which is supposed to point to Jesus. But when Paul explains to them, they were baptized. And then we have another Pentecost, so to speak. That's interesting too, isn't it? They received the Spirit in this spectacular way, tongues and prophesying. Now, we've talked about this before throughout this book of Acts, what that means and what it is to have the Spirit. But I think there was good reason here. I think there was good reason why God manifested the Spirit in this way here, just like the other times when this happened in Jerusalem and then in Samaria, is to establish, I think, here in the ends of the earth way that the same Spirit is there. So what does it mean then, as we paint with some fairly broad strokes here, to have that complete gospel? Or as I said, full gospel. Now, if I say full gospel, for some of you older than my wife, full gospel has a, you kind of, oh, I've heard that before. So in the 70s, there was a movement in our country, it's called the full gospel. All kinds of things. The Full Gospel Businessmen was an organization that popped up. I remember it. I went to Full Gospel Businessmen meetings. You know, the gist of this movement, so to speak, was that it was very charismatic in nature. And because of that, there was the idea that one could be a Christian and not experience the fullness of the Spirit. And then, so they were kind of different things. You became a Christian and you know, but you didn't get the fullness of the Spirit. That came separately. And they go to Acts 19 to kind of prove their point. These folks didn't have the fullness. But when they got that fullness of Spirit, then came the tongues and all this stuff. All right? I always heard explained that, yeah, when you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as an individual here in America, the Spirit came in and kind of filled the glass up. All right? Yeah, be like here. Yeah. So yeah, you got the Spirit. So you're a Christian. But, oh, there's more. The baptism of the Spirit then, actually I bought a pitcher, it could fill the water, and then the Spirit kind of spews out all over the place. It's just water, it's not spirits. Okay, so you with me? All right? I think that's a misplaced idea. I really do. I don't see any evidence, even as we've walked through Acts here. We've seen these special times. Again, I've said this before. There's part of me that would really like it. I would love to just be what would be called a cessationist, which means that those kind of things, the weird stuff, really, that's what we're talking about here, right? The weird stuff, the tongues, prophesying, you know, maybe even healings, that kind of, that was then, but now is now, okay? I can't go there, all right? I do not see any evidence. I think God does what God wills. And there may be needs. There may be an occasion where, you know, in Africa or other places where these kind of special outpouring is needed, okay? But it is not necessarily evidence of a conversion or not conversion, okay? That's what I'm trying to say here. And so the fullness, if you want to talk about the full gospel, we have to look to the Christian baptism and the kingdom of God. Okay, that of a new life. That's what we're talking about here. And so I think when someone comes to faith by the Spirit, you have received that fullness of the Spirit. Okay? And so all that is incumbent into that, everything, all the benefits and responsibilities are put upon you in that event of coming to the Spirit. So you have forgiveness of your sins. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the Spirit. There's healing. You know, healing of relationship with God. Maybe physical healing. Maybe. Maybe mental healing. Okay? That's all part of the kingdom of God. Justice. Help for the poor. All this is the fullness of God. That is the kingdom. I've thought about this before. You know, when Jesus, you know, does his miracles. Now, some folks would say he did the miracles to show his power and that he was God. Okay. Yes, yes. But it's interesting the way he did it. The miracles he did, because he could have done something like
I don't know, fly.
That'd have been cool, right? Jesus comes in like Superman. All right, see, I'm God. All right? But he didn't do that. And in fact, all of his miracles, all of them point to the kingdom of God. And what that is, remember, again, here we are in Romans 8 again. Remember the creation is groaning. Why? Because God suggested it's futile, and they want this, the creation itself wants this rebirth that we experience. They're longing for the same thing that we long for. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is a place where people aren't hungry. What did Jesus do? He fed people. The kingdom of God, when it is spreading and embracing, when it comes again in that already not yet scenario, there's no sickness. There's no blind people in the kingdom of God. There's no lame people in the kingdom of God. That's wrong. That's the brokenness from the fall. And so his miracles point not only to his identity as God, but to the reality of this kingdom. That's what was preached. The kingdom of God is coming. And everything that is included with that, all of it, that is the full gospel. That's why we can say and preach and share a gospel, good news with people that is, we are apart from God in our sin. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and shed his blood, died, was buried, and rose again so that if we believe in him, we can be forgiven of that said sin and have a newness of life. Yes. And in that new life, in this breaking through from the heavens, your will be done on earth as in heaven. In that breaking out, we're like little beachheads of the kingdom. That's what we are. That's what churches are. That's what Christians are. And our job then is like way back in Genesis, the job that Adam and Eve had was, hey, let's cultivate this place. Let's order this place. That's we're going back. That's what the kingdom of God is. See? And so the full gospel is all of that. It is feeding the hungry. Absolutely, completely. That is the gospel. Helping the poor. That is the gospel. Getting people medical treatment. You know, medical missionaries it's all of it. And to point fingers back and forth, oh, we're just telling people about Jesus and you're not, so you're not doing the gospel. Oh, no, we're helping the sick and you're just not helping, you know. No, please, people. The gospel is all of it. And we are called to do all of it. That is the full gospel. Chuck Swindoll in his commentary on Acts wraps it up in this way, and I did this last week, but doggone, that Chuck did it again for me. I really liked it. He gave four little points here, and I think that'll summarize nicely. One, please remember, in the gospel, repentance itself is not enough without an actual trust in Jesus. Okay, the answer is Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Two, bad sometimes. The presence of the Holy Spirit indicates true belief. All right? So, meaning, that's saving faith. You can't have saving faith without the Spirit, and you can't have the Spirit without having saving faith. All right? If you believe and bow your knee to Christ, and all that means, you have the Spirit. But you need to experience that Spirit. If nothing happens, now I'm not talking, you know, a weird feeling or tongues or whatever, okay? Tongues of fire, be cool. I would love it. But there is an experience of the Spirit that we must have. A new life. It's changed. If we are the same, if our life is exactly the same after we come bow the knee to Christ as before, what happened? It has to be different. The Holy Spirit may or may not reveal itself in miracles. Okay? That's okay. God wills as he wills, I believe. That does not mean if there are no miracles, there's no Spirit, necessarily. And it doesn't mean necessarily that just because you have miracles that you're all good, either. Okay? Miracles validate the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But a lack of doesn't mean a lack of Holy Spirit. All right? You can be sure. You can be sure of the fullness of the Spirit in your life, not because of miracles, but because of a desire for God's Word, of wanting to be with His people, of a concern for the lost around you, of a call to action, to help the poor and the needy. That's the Spirit. And that's what we're looking at doing here. I think the question we should ask then of ourselves is, am I living in the fullness of the gospel. Not in just in a sharing of four spiritual laws track with my neighbor, and not just going to a food pantry and helping pass out food to people who need it. Sherry and I, when we went to Plattville yesterday, drove by a church, and in their parking lot, they had a little tent set up, and they were giving out boxes of food. I went, yes, that's the gospel. That's the gospel, feet on the ground. Absolutely. All right? Is there repentance? Is there belief? Is there the experience day to day of the renewing of the Spirit in your life, a different life, a changed life? Is it an acknowledgement of the individual application of Christ's blood in my lives and the community and communal part of being the body of Christ? Is at the end of the day the kingdom of God in your life? Not just heaven, but the renewal of life now. Slowly, surely, inch by inch, bringing out the good news. The kingdom of God is here. And I am evidence of that, and it comes in Jesus. Let's pray. Well, Father God, I thank you again for your Spirit. And Lord, as we sang today, come, Holy Spirit, come. I pray that we would be flooded anew in the knowledge and the joy of your Spirit, evidenced in our love for you, in our crying out of Abba, Father, in our love for you and for your people, and the love and concern for the needs around us. And we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Move us, I pray, in Jesus' name, in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Amen.